In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever had a garden, maybe you've had a year when the weeds win the war. You've neglected to root them all up because you simply couldn't keep up. You lacked the time, maybe you lacked the ability to do so. You didn't get a big harvest that year, I bet. Now, it's one thing if the field is just a corner of your yard. But it's another thing if your field spans the whole world. It seems like God has neglected his field. Evil weeds are sprouting up everywhere. Sons of the devil, causing no end of pain and suffering to each other, and especially to Christians. It seems to us that God is neglecting his field, and we are fed up with it. We want to be done with all of their evil. Tyrants, terrorists, rioters, racists, users and abusers, corrupt politicians and cowardly ones, and everybody else who makes us suffer. Why doesn't God just get rid of them now? Can't he do it? Doesn't he care? Jesus tells us a parable. A master of a house owns a field. He sows good wheat seed in the field, looking forward to a good harvest. But then an enemy sneaks in and sows weeds in the same field. So both the wheat and the weeds grow up together under the care of the master and his servants. Now the weed that Jesus perhaps had in mind was a plant called the bearded darnel, or the poisoned darnel. It's a weed that can harbor deadly disease, a fungus, so that when you eat it, you feel drunkenly nauseous and can even die. The diseased weeds are themselves poisoned and thus poisonous to others. The request, the plea, the prayer of these servants to their master is to remove the deadly weeds. It's an entirely reasonable request, we think. And we pray the same thing. As far as we're concerned, the sooner our master lets us get to work ripping up the weeds, the better. But instead, he has a surprising command. No. No. Lest in rooting up the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together into the harvest. What? Why not? Why not uproot diseased and poisonous weeds? Why not uproot the sons of the devil who carry the disease of sin, who plague the world with wickedness, perversion, and death? Baffled, frustrated, we groan as if God was not keeping his promises, as if he's allowing for entirely unnecessary suffering, as if maybe he's indifferent to our pain, or maybe even unable somehow to stop it all. But no. He is the first and the last, the Almighty One. Besides him, there is no God. He's the absolute ruler of the universe. Nothing can challenge his power, so that must not be what's keeping him from destroying all the evil in the world right this instant. And if we think that it's a fault in God's character that he delays the day of the harvest and winnowing, then we have the entire witness of Scripture to help us understand who he is and what he's up to. He has told us from the beginning what he's about, what he's doing, and what he will bring about. He is the God of salvation, the God of redemption. Ever since evil took root in Eden, he's been undoing the sin that we brought into this world, undoing the corruption and the futility of sin in this world, all the sin we suffer and all the sin we perpetuate, our sin that makes others suffer. God is patient with us, and he is gracious toward us. He does not destroy us immediately like we deserve. Instead, he forgives us. He forgives each of you for all that you have done. Hard to believe? Look at his cross. There, God shows you how much he loves you. And not just us in the church right now, but the whole field, the whole world. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus was given into death on the cross for a world of weeds. That includes us. None of us here were good enough. None of us even had the potential to be good and holy. We were not just weak, needing a little boost so that our souls could blossom. We were all weeds, sick with the deadly disease of sin. Jesus, the only good wheat in a world of weeds, died and was buried in this field so that he could rise and bring a harvest of new life to you. He died and rose so that you would be transformed from weeds to wheat as you live in faith towards him. So, you must now know that God is not indifferent to your suffering. He himself bore all your suffering on his shoulders and in his heart, even though it killed him. He suffered so that he could bring you out from under your suffering, from all suffering. No, God has shown that he is patient with us and gracious towards us. Understanding that character of God, who he is, helps us understand what he's up to now. It's not a lack of power that keeps God from rooting up all the weeds right now, or a lack of love. Just the opposite. It's not because he loves so little, but because he loves so much. He loves much more than we do. And the key to seeing how is in the parable. The wheat and the weeds that Jesus talks about look a lot alike when they're growing, almost identical. They're only clearly distinguishable at harvest time. It's not clear to us which are wheat and which are weeds until the very end. That's why the master makes his servants wait. Do you see how that works in the parable? Jesus is saying that there are those people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life who are not yet Christians. God is waiting for them. Either they haven't been born yet, or they haven't yet come to faith. You see, it's not as if God is trying to convert as many people as possible until Judgment Day arrives. It's that Judgment Day is waiting until the full harvest is ready. At the harvest, the weeds and the wheat will be separated, not by us in our flawed judgment, but by God in his perfect judgment. At the harvest, and not a single day before. He will not send in the reapers until every soul ever to be won for the gospel by Jesus Christ himself has come to faith. Now, our life is really difficult with unbelievers everywhere. We think that the best answer is get rid of them now. And we pray as much. But thank God that he's God, because while even our prayers are often short-sighted, he in Christ is patiently, graciously moving all things to a righteous judgment. God's ways are not our ways. He is patient beyond our patience, wise beyond our wisdom. He always has the bigger, better picture in mind. God looks at today's unbelievers and sees precious souls, some of whom he knows will come to faith. Jesus doesn't want a single one of them to miss out on the kingdom, just as he didn't want you to miss out. That's why he didn't bring in the harvest 100 years ago, or 50, or 10, or 5. Because he wanted you to live with him in his kingdom forever. And your children, and your children's children, and even the little ones among us still in their mother's womb. If he had come sooner, then we would be missing from that kingdom to come. You see, Jesus has the big picture in view, the full harvest. So just as he waits for those who will one day live in him by faith, we too now wait for them, and we suffer for them out of love, just as others had done for you. Remember, we didn't look any different from weeds all that long ago. In fact, we were weeds until Jesus came to us and made us new. He's doing the same thing for others right now. So what do we do now while we wait? Do not go looking for weeds to uproot. Not in God's garden. Instead, do what God has told his people to do from of old. Live in faith toward him and in love towards one another. Trust God to be God, to do the good work and do the good work of your vocations that he has given you to do. Keep sowing the good seed. Keep speaking the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection for us and for all. And trust Jesus to work faith when and where he pleases. Keep tending the field in acts of love, acts of mercy towards all people, wheat and weeds alike, according to the goodwill of our Master. Pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done together. In all things, trusting God's goodwill, which is so much better than ours. Our gracious God is ruling us in a way that is always, always the very best. Now, we may have our opinions about how things should be run, but we know that his will is best because he has shown himself to be our Redeemer. He has shown us his very heart. And just like he promised, we will see that our current sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory ahead. At the right time, Jesus will come back and end all suffering. He will remove all the wicked who cause such evil. There will be a righteous judgment at the harvest, a gathering and a sorting and a dividing. Those who believe in Christ, those who have received his Spirit, who stand forgiven and cleansed and renewed by him, we will be received into his kingdom. Those who, for once and for all, have rejected Jesus, have rejected his forgiveness, his cleansing, his renewal, and so rejected life in his kingdom, they will be cast into the fiery furnace, never to harass or corrupt or abuse God's people and creation ever again. It'll be clear for all to see that God's judgment is perfectly justified and good. But God wishes that furnace for no one. So he waits until the very last possible moment, until the very last soul has been gathered. And that'll be good for us too. Every person saved is a precious gift, a priceless treasure, a brother, a sister, who we won't be able to imagine living without in the new world to come. We will thank God that he allowed us to suffer just a little bit more so that they would be able to be with us in that kingdom to come. In that kingdom, we will have a full, wholesome, pure, and truly good life with our precious and beloved family forever. That's our hope for the future. That's why Paul describes our current suffering as groaning of childbirth, intense pain followed by new life. And we will all together shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. God knows that you suffer as you wait. That's why Jesus is and will always be with you in your suffering.
He feeds you.
He strengthens you. He defends you. He bears you up to see you through to the very end. Endure in faith just a little longer. Jesus is with you. The harvest is coming. And it will be more bountiful than we could have ever imagined. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.